Singing a little louder. Quiet down a bit. You might get excited. No. Let's get excited about the right things. And that is that Jesus Christ, the one way, the one truth, and the one life, has come into our hearts and our lives. And I can sing a little louder.
Yeah.
Sing a little louder. Middle of troubles and strife, I'll sing it in the middle of meltdowns, God, because you alone are Lord of all. You are King of kings. You alone are God. There's none beside you. As we come into this place this morning, we want to greet you today and say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your salvation that's been poured out so rich and free. Thank you for life that we can live, life that has meaning, life that has purpose. Oh God, bless our time together now as we fellowship, as we listen to your word, as we allow ourselves to be open to the moving of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, that this place might be a house of prayer, that might be a house of praise and worship to the one and only God. We bless your name together. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen.
You may be seated. He's making sure, because he's pretty worried that we've missed the Apostles' Creed.
Yes.
But we can do that right now. I know how.
Do you know it?
I do.
Okay, make her close her eyes.
Gary, okay, do it with me. I believe in
God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and life everlasting. Amen.
It worked. How refreshing is this rain this morning? Man, just after the heat of last week, and it's just wonderful to wake up to this rain, and I was thinking, that's what coming to church feels like. It's just like, we're going to get refreshed this morning, and I'm excited for that.
Rain for your soul, right?
Yes, exactly. So this week, we're back to the normal stuff. So we have the men's group, 6:30 here on Monday night, and they are continuing through with Quest for Authentic Manhood. I'm going to get it by the time you guys are done with this. And then Wednesday night, we do dinners at 5:30, and then we have a break, and then everything starts, what? Oh, 6:30 classes start, what are you?
5:45.
Oh, did I say 6:45? Oh, okay, 5:45 dinner. You guys can read. I don't even know. And then we'll be done by 7:45, and there is classes for everybody. There is youth, there is stuff for the kids, and there is even a couple adult Bible studies. So don't be left out. Come eat with us, come fellowship with us, and then come learn with us, right?
Amen.
So let's see, what else? Gail, you had a quick announcement. Next Saturday at 11.
Saturday, 11.
11 at Creekside Campground.
Right. 6 miles south, right on the highway, mile marker 32.
Very good. Very good. Oh, I get to do offering. All right. So the ushers would like to come forward. This might be a first for me. It's kind of cool. Offering. The first is for your tithes and offerings. The second is for, hurricane relief. Oh, I did not see that on here. So the hurricane that's happening down south, we're going to send money to probably Convoy of Hope, I'm guessing. So if you'd like to give towards that relief effort, that would be awesome. That's the second offering. And I'm going to pray over this, and we'll continue with worship and giving and in praise. So God, we just thank you for this day. We recognize that everything we have comes from you. And we just want to give a portion back for your kingdom and to bless you and continue your work. In your awesome name, amen.
Hungry, I come.
this heart is living for. I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I'll wait for you. Guys, you can stand with us for worship. You can sit if you need to. My only request this morning is that you open your heart to the Holy Spirit. Let Him flow through you, that you would feel the love of God this morning. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody.
Thank you.
If there are those of you today that maybe you're hurt by family, by parents, and it's really just kind of a painful walk you're going through right now, I want to tell you there's a good, good Father out there.
Amen.
I want to tell you there's a good, good Father that can touch you and can heal you and minister into your life what you need today. And so I think we're just gonna sing this through one more time. And I would just encourage you this morning. I know it's probably really embarrassing to ask somebody to pray with you, but is there anybody here that you would not pray with somebody that just needed a touch from? Is there anybody here? Now look around for a minute. I want to encourage you this morning. Sit down next to somebody, walk up and say, "Hey, would you just pray with me?" Because there's a good, good Father that He can make up for maybe the not so good fathers, or maybe the not so good family, or the whatever's going on. But I just feel like God wants to minister to you today, this morning, if that's where your pain is. I want to reassure you, there's a good Father.
Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all.
Many stories. We've heard a lot. Lord, we've even experienced love. But Father, I just want to pray today for those that are hurting today. I want to pray for those that have been hurt from family members. Maybe it's some years ago, maybe it's some very fresh. But you're a God that can heal us. You're a God that can help us through stuff. You're the God that is able to make all the difference in the world. Oh God, may we not just hear about what you can do in other people's lives. Lord, may we experience that today in our own lives. Lord, may we find ourselves praying actually for ourselves right now. For those that have been hurt, you know, down in their spirits. That wouldn't allow that root of bitterness to find a place, would not allow what's already there to continue to grow, but instead you could destroy that work of the enemy and place it with the fruit of your spirit, which is love, joy, peace. Oh, through your spirit, God, may your Holy Spirit do a healing in hearts today, and even right now, God. Because you're a good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am. I am, Lord.
Pray for people this morning. I've been reading about the fire of God and the Holy Spirit coming and resting on people and the day of Pentecost. That's what I've been digging into the last couple weeks. And God, and there's more than just justice upon people when God brings His fire, His Holy Spirit on people. There's actually the burning away of chaff in people's lives, so that the gold shows out of their hearts and you become what God intended for you. The story of creation and your salvation is all about a restoration of relationship with Him. And so I pray this morning that the fire of God that comes to burn away the chaff, burn away those things that they don't necessarily have to be bad, it doesn't have to be sin. But be open to God about burning away the things that so easily distract us from the Holy Spirit in a relationship with Christ. And that applies to everybody this morning. And so, Father God, I just ask that you would just move, just blow, just breathe through people's hearts this morning, that we would experience the fire of God. God, your love, your fire and love, that gently but thoroughly burns away the chaff of our hearts and makes our hearts be pure and we follow you. And those things that detract from you fade away, God, in the presence of your fire, and we focus on you in Jesus' name. So my prayer is that your heart aligns with the Father's today, that you would truly know and see in yourself the goal that He has for you in your life.
With the beauty. Just receive our endless love. God, may we reflect on your love this morning. May we reflect on how much you've loved us, Lord. And in return, God, may that drive us, Lord, to just sincerely and truly love you with a love that goes beyond all understanding. A love that has no limits, a love that has no end, a love that will bring us through to eternity and beyond. God, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Kids, come on forward. You guys can have a seat. Kiddos, kiddos. All right. So we've got lots of kiddos. If you're new here, we're not just like throwing them outside in the rain right now. They actually have church downstairs, which is geared to their age, to their understanding level. And our whole mission down there is to build up that next generation, making disciples, making the future leaders and pastors and missionaries and just sons and daughters of God right downstairs. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get them on their way.
Oops.
All right. One more. There we go. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for these little ones. Thank you for these kids, Lord, that are just learning and growing in you, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as they go downstairs, Lord, that your word would be spoken to them, Lord, that they would understand it, that it would just change their lives while they're and build them up and grow them. May they have a childlike faith, God, that puts us to shame as adults. God, be with them, be with their teachers now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So, that's mine. So this morning, I get a couple honors this morning. Before I get into the word, though, I didn't want to forget some things, and I just know me, I move too much. I'll hit this. I believe we have a 60th wedding anniversary in the house this morning. John and Diane celebrating 60 years together. Congratulations. That is amazing, especially this morning. To live up to. Also, we have my beautiful daughter. Can you believe today she turns 16? Turned 16 this morning at like what, 5 something? Do you remember the time? Oh, wow, she's almost 16 then. She's getting there. I feel old having a 16-year-old. Thanks, Jason. I am old. Yeah. You know, but it's incredible. So happy birthday to my daughter, Miss Lucy. What's that?
Chad
and I's
29th
wedding. What? Congratulations. 29 years. Look at these marriages. Look at the foundation that pulls these marriages together. And one of these times, we're going to do a sermon on that very thing. What it is to be married and what it is to hold that marriage strong. A marriage that will endure and that will persevere. Yes. February 14th. I guess now we have a calendar date for it. Decided. Stamped. So you all want to be here. February 14th, and Jason's preaching it. That is amazing.
I'm
seeing
John and Diane's preaching.
Oh!
Yeah, right? Yeah!
I'm liking this. So, lots of fun plans to come to. This morning, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 3. That's going to be our text. I believe it's printed on the back of your bulletin as well. In case you don't know me, I'm looking around. I think 99 to 100% of you all know me, but I am Pastor Ken. I am typically the worship leader guy banging on the guitar. Chad, he has been doing an amazing job, has he not?
Yes.
Great leader. I'm really excited. Today I get the honor of bringing the Word of God to you guys. Even behind the guitar, I don't think I hold back too much on that. But anyhow, let's read this verse together and then we'll get into what we're studying today. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Father, I just pray, Lord, that as we study your word this morning, God, that it would go forth, that it would change people's lives. God, I'm not just speaking to the saved or the unsaved, but change every single one of our lives, Father, for the better. God, may your word do a powerful act in our lives through your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, before I get too far into this, I get to talk to you about a couple fun things. So, who ever got to make it out to the park on any of the Wednesdays that we have, Revival Wednesdays? Not just there, but how many of you ever heard me preach here before? Yeah, most of you. So, sometimes I have a tendency to get really loud. You would never know that. I don't even need this microphone, I don't think, but it's on for the recorder, I guess. But sometimes in my loudness, I tend to get excited, right? I tend to get a little bit of passion going in me. And when I get that passion going in me, sometimes I can start yelling at you guys. And it's been told to me before that sometimes when I'm yelling, that you guys might think that I'm angry at y'all. And and that could be a turnoff to some people. And I want to clarify with you guys, and just because I guarantee you I will get passionate again, because whenever I get into God's Word, it just stirs me up and drives me insane and drives me crazy, and I love it. But at the same time, I want you guys to know that this passion that's driving me isn't a passion of anger. It's not a passion of frustration, although there's some aspects of that sometimes in people's lives when I look out. But more of passion of love, a passion of earnest love, understanding that the time is so, so short. And it's so important that we understand these truths and live these truths, and that they transform us. So oftentimes also you hear me talk about American Christianity, right? American Christianity. And this is true probably of other countries as well, but I'm an American, so I'm going to speak of it. American Christianity, and how sometimes in many, many churches it's a watered-down religious experience. Or simply a membership in a church, or simply the Christian thing that we do. We go to church, and then we check the mark, and then we go out and we live our lives the way we want to. And it's a watered-down Christianity, and it lacks the potency. It lacks the depth that God desires of all of His people. In fact, as you're going to learn, and as I'm going to keep talking to you guys today, it causes us to pause. It causes us to question and go, Well, what is it? Am I a Christian or am I not a Christian? And these are big questions. They're important questions, and they're questions that we all need to ask ourselves every single day. Because we don't want to be in that group that subscribes to a religious experience, and then the rapture comes, and we're all sitting here looking at each other going, wow, that was nice. What are you doing here still? What am I doing here still? And then you realize, oh, I should have been checking myself a little bit more to make sure that my salvation was real, to make sure that I was in the faith. So what is it to be a Christian then? What does it mean to be a Christian? And it's really simple. A Christian is purely this, a follower of Christ. That is what a Christian is, a follower of Christ. You see in the New Testament church, originally it was referred to as the way, right? It was just the way. You weren't a Christian, you were part of the way. And then later on, as you read scriptures, finally you have this tense of Christian. And we took that name, and then Satan got a hold of it, and he's watered it down and warped it. So now when people go, hey, what religion are you? Are you, you know, Christian, but the real one. I'm an actual Christian. I'm not just a Christian. You know, so it's important to distinguish that. And what I'm going to talk about today really has to do with what it is to be a real, genuine, saved Christian. And a lot of that comes down to sacrifice. And here's a way that you can evaluate this. We were talking in the car, as often we do, driving down into Boise with my family. And we were talking about, you know, what does it mean to follow Christ? What might Christ have you do if you truly are following Him? What does it mean to be not of this world? Because John 17:16, if it's up there, says, they, meaning Christians, followers of Christ, are not of this world, even as I, Jesus, am not of this world. What does that mean? I'm here. I'm in the world, right? I'm pretty sure. Yep, that hurt. You know, I'm here. I'm in this world. But Jesus is saying, I'm not. Well, skip forward in your Bible. It's up on the screen. 1 John 2:15-16, near the end of your Bible. 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world. Do not love the world. Nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, it's not from the Father, but is from the world. So as a Christian, you're called to be outside. You're here, you're living here, but you're not of the world. Your life isn't dictated by the world. So then I start asking these real questions. Let's get beyond Sunday school answers with the kiddos and stuff, and with you guys as well. Start evaluating your life. Would Jesus do what you do? Uh-oh. Would Jesus read those books that you read. Maybe it's a perfectly fine, there's nothing bad in it. You know, it's just a sci-fi book, say. A clean one. And would Jesus take the time to read that? Would Jesus take the time to go veg in front of the TV and watch a movie? What would Jesus do? And then we ask ourselves, well, is there anything wrong with those things? We go, no. But I would say yes. Yes, there is. Because if Jesus wouldn't have wasted his time on it, why would we waste our time on it? If we're living the way Jesus lives, then why would we live the way the world lives? Why would we model ourselves off the world? And I'm not exempt from this. I enjoy a good movie myself. I don't like reading many books, but I enjoy flicks. Okay, I'm weird with this. I used to read a lot of books, but then I got to this point with books where I was like, this is a waste of my time. If I'm going to sit down and read a book, this is really the only book I want to read. There's so much here, and that's me, and I hope that you guys grow into that as well. Books can be great, but to me, books can be a real waste of time when I got the Word of God, which has absolutely everything in it. What are you willing to sacrifice, though? If God said, give it up, would you do it? If God said, I don't want you in those books anymore, would you stop reading them? But God, there's nothing wrong with them. Would you stop reading them? If God said, I don't want you going to those movies anymore, would you be willing to do it? Or would you put, there's nothing wrong with them? Okay, but if God's saying, I don't want you to waste your time with that, would you stop? And it's a hard question. It's a question we all have to ask ourselves. What are we willing to do for our Savior? What are we willing to lay down for our Savior? What are we willing to sacrifice for our Savior? And if something as simple as a book or movie time or anything else of this world in our lives that we enjoy, if we can't say wholeheartedly, of course I would, how in the world would you be able to lay your life down for this Savior? You know, we like the words. We like saying, oh yeah, I'll die for Jesus. Okay, well how about you live for Jesus? How about you live every aspect of your life for Jesus? And then we'll talk about dying for Jesus. Because if you can't live, then you surely ain't going to die for him. You're just fooling yourselves and it's a lie. So then where does it all begin? Where does living not of this world begin? Where does this victorious grace on our knees really begin? And turn to your Bibles to Romans 5, 1 through 2, and we'll have the answer here. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. Our introduction. Notice, it's introduction, not a completeness. Introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. Notice, we've had an introduction by faith into grace. That began when you were justified. When you were justified, faith was active. Faith justified you through grace. When you truly believe is when you started on this journey of victorious grace on your knees. Well, what does this grace look like? We talk about grace. Grace is one of those words I've told you guys before. Me and grace go back a long ways, and I hope grace and you go back a long ways. Just the word grace just causes my inner heart to tingle inside, because I'm just like, oh my goodness, I've lived life. I've screwed up my life. I've gotten back on my feet, and I've walked victoriously in grace. So when I look back at my life, I go, grace, 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 and I'm just in awe all the time. And that's never enough. I never go, man, that grace thing was good. What's next? No. There's more grace that I don't even understand yet. And there's more coming, and I get so excited to experience the grace that Jesus has for me. Turn your Bibles, Romans 8, 1 through 2. What does this grace look like? I'm going to read through a few scriptures here, and there's a bullet point that should pop up on the screen when I'm done, maybe. And it's really kind of defining this grace. Romans 8, 1 through 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is this grace? No condemnation. If you stand redeemed by the power of God, then you do not stand condemned by the sin of this world. You have no condemnation, and that is a direct result of grace. Continue in Romans 8, starting in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Then we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. It's important that you catch that last part of that verse, because it's taken out of context so much in these religious environments. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. That's not the end of the verse. God causes all things to work together for good qualifiers to those who love God. Yes. Second qualifier, to those who are called according to His purpose. That is what is made good and who it's made good for. Not the general cloud in the, you know, we're all happy in the cloud in the sky, whatever. No, there's a purpose, there's a focus. God is very narrow in what He's saying here. What does grace look like? Grace looks like help in times of weakness. Grace looks like intercession. Grace looks like the promise of goodness in your life. That is grace. So we have no condemnation. We have intercession. We have help in our weakness. And we have the promise of goodness. These are all grace given to you. Flip forward two chapters, Romans 10, starting in verse 8. This is a key section of Scripture that you all need to memorize. If you don't have it yet, mark it in your Bibles, underline it, memorize it. Because this is probably one of the most single most important Scriptures in all of the Word of God. All of it. And without this verse, you are lost when you're trying to fulfill your commission from the Lord. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. What does this grace look like? It looks like salvation. You've been set free. You've been saved.
Hallelujah.
By grace. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This grace is unearned. This grace is freely received. This grace is freely given. What an incredible grace. So I ask the question, do you truly understand the grace you've received? Do you know what you deserved? This is one of those introspective questions. Look at your life. Rewind the tapes in your mind. Do you get it? Do you know what you ought to have received? Do you understand what the cost was for that grace to come to you freely? Do you know and truly get what Jesus did for you? What Jesus does for you every single day? Do you truly understand this grace? the key verse in your bulletin that we talked about, Ephesians 3, it starts with the phrase, for this reason. Basically, as a result of something else, I'm saying this. Well, what is that something? What is that reason? Rewind to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. And this is the reason why we have this victorious grace. This is the reason Paul bows his knee. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11. Therefore, remember, formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. By it, having put to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints in our God's household. Grace is the reason. For this reason, it's grace. That right there in Ephesians is grace poured out to you. When you truly set your mind to understand this grace, when you set your eyes on this grace, then you'll understand like Paul did. And you too will be driven to your knees before the throne of grace. You know, Paul described in Ephesians 3 what victorious grace looks like. And at the start of it, it started on his knees. Why I titled this sermon, Victorious Grace on Your Knees. Paul described it beginning on your knees. It starts recognizing that you can't live it. You can't do it. It starts when you recognize that it's not about you at all. And it's not about what you get or what you gain. It's not about what you might even have to sacrifice or surrender. Grace completely takes you out of the equation. And grace replaces you with Christ. Grace begins with remembering, I've said this before, grace begins with remembering who you were, what he did for you, and who you are now. But it starts thinking back, who was I before? We don't forget, we remember who we were. Because if we forget it, then the grace is cheap. When you realize how much God has done for you, it just fills up beyond capacity. So, there's some points here. You can write them down. How do we live this victorious grace on our knees? How do we do it? Again, first thing, prayer. Prayer. Come humbly before the Father, the Almighty God, recognizing who he is. And ask. Don't ask for your day-to-day selfish desires. Don't ask even for your friends' needs. Don't come to God and ask for the needs of the world. They're not bad things. It's okay to pray for one another. It's encouraged to pray for another. It's encouraged to pray for this world. But where does this start? How do we live this victorious grace? Ask. Go to your knees. Understanding who you are and who you're coming before, and ask him to build you up in the spirit. Ask for him to build you up in the spirit. Ask for that anointing of the spirit. Ask for that baptism of the spirit. Ask for him to move in you and then surrender to him. Ask not for outward power. Ask not for an outward strength per se. Right now, come to the Father humbly, asking him to do a work that only he could do inside you, to fill you with his Spirit. Ask for that renewed, clean heart as David did. That clean heart to be dedicated to him and to his purposes. And the thing is, if you don't know him, I say this all the time, if you don't know him, if you don't have that Spirit, if you haven't experienced that Spirit, that anointing, now's the time. Today, right now, this morning. It's not tomorrow, it's not next week, it's right now. You see, you can't experience victorious grace without him indwelling you. You won't. You'll go through the motions, but you won't truly understand. You won't truly experience it. You'll be a watered-down, weak religious person with no hope, lying to yourself. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to experience God. It's impossible to be justified by God. It starts at the Spirit of God indwelling you. You have to yearn for it. You have to desire it. You have to ask for it, and then you have to surrender to it and allow him to take control and have the reins of your life. Second thing, ground yourself, root yourself in love. Time and time again, we see that the person that loves God loves others. Love starts again at remembering who you were and are today. And when you have a grasp on that, when you understand the grace you've received, you look at people differently all of a sudden. You see the church different all of a sudden. You see the lost different all of a sudden. You have an anguish for their hearts. To see them experiencing the same grace that you've received. You love them as Christ loves you. And truly, it pains you when you look out and you see them throwing their lives away. It pains you to see them lost. It pains you to see your Christian brothers and sisters turning and walking and living in a way contrary to what God would have for them, contrary to God's best. It literally should hurt because that's how much you love. You love the way Christ loves you. You have a passion for them. You want to live victorious grace? Love your God. Love yourself. Love others. You have to do all three, you realize. You have to love God. And yes, you have to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, how in the world are you going to love other people? You have to love what God has done in you, through you, for you. And then you got to share it. You got to share it with the world. Third point, live in this victorious grace. Know and experience the love of Christ. You see, it's not enough to have knowledge. You ever met a very knowledgeable Christian? A knowledge-based Christian that has no passion, no spirit driving them, but they know it all. They can give you all the answers. Knowledge. It's not enough to have knowledge. That knowledge has to translate into a daily, an hourly, a minute-by-minute experience of the love of Christ. As you fold your knees, remembering that grace, as you seek more of him, as you seek the anointing from him, as you ground yourself in love, as you root down, growing those roots even further, experience the love of Christ in your life. Experience that love that isn't just a theology, that isn't a religion, but is a real and tangible love. And hold on to it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't take it for granted either. Don't minimize it in how you live, but bask in it. Bask in experiencing his love and be built up in it. What do I mean by don't take it for granted? Look around you. Look at your life.
Look at the way you live your life. Look at the things, remembering the grace of God. Remember what he's done for you. Remember that it's out of love that he's doing it for you. And experience it. It's not chance. Circumstances don't happen by chance. God's in control. God is sovereign. God loves you. God's working all things for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you realize it? It's not an accident that you're loved. Experience that love and hold on fast to it. And when you do these three things, those three things, you'll be walking in victorious grace. Well, what is that grace going to look like? What's the result of that victorious grace? It's the last part of Ephesians 3 that we read. Be filled with all the fullness of God. Everything that God is becomes who you are about. You cease to be a mediocre Christian. You cease to be a religious person with all the head knowledge of what it means to be a Christian, but without the substance of experiencing the reality of it. When that grace becomes your reality, when it becomes a truly victorious grace that results in salvation and hope, your life will never, ever, ever be the same. It'll change radically in a good way. You know, a couple weeks ago, who was here a couple weeks ago with Chad Les in that incredible worship service that we had? Oh, yeah. Mark didn't even get to talk. You know, it was amazing. During that service, I said something to you guys. And what I told you is if you are redeemed, do you understand that the fullness of Almighty God dwells within you? That's the result of victorious grace. Don't you see it? The fullness of God. Think of that. Everything he is, all his power, all his knowledge, all his wisdom, all his authority, every good thing that he is within you. And it's available to you. And quite honestly, it's what guides you. It's what leads you. And it becomes what makes you tick. It's the drumbeat of your life. And when that happens, when you understand that, I asked you guys the question 2 weeks ago, whom then shall I fear? Nobody. Just to drive that home, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death. All day long, we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whom shall we fear? Victorious grace, guys. Victorious. It's so much more than a mediocre, lukewarm faith. It's so much more than a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's so much more than a religion. You know, all those are just lies. They're all lies from the pit of hell, and they lead the masses straight to damnation. And that should hurt. That should make you want to just tear up and cry to know the masses of people out there that are just living the lie. It's one thing to be lost. It's another thing to think that you've got something that you don't. And for those, my heart truly breaks. Because it's not purely them. They've been told these lies. They've been deceived by so-called teachers, by so-called ministers of the gospel. They've been told to follow this lie and then live your life however you want to live. And what's our job in all that? To set it straight. To set the truth. To let them know. It's funny. Someone at Ray, I'm going to name him, he asked me the other day, he goes, do you really think in a church of 50, 60, 70 people like we have, that there might be people in here that don't know Jesus? And I said, yes. Am I confident in a lot of people that they love Jesus? Yes. Am I going to make that decision adamantly that, yep, they're a Christian, they're saved, and they're going to heaven, they're on glory's train? No. No, no. I will never, ever make that assumption. What a horrible assumption to make and then be wrong. If I talk to you guys like you're sinners that are lost, it's because I want you to check your lives every single day and examine and make sure that you aren't lost. Make sure that you are saved. Because the stakes are so high. It's life. It's death. Eternal life, eternal death. And you can't let those moments pass. Victorious grace is the only way. There's only one way. Only one. The only true hope we have is salvation. It's not an option to live in victorious grace. You see, there's lots of rewards to it, right? I went through the results of victorious grace, how wonderful it is, how amazing it is. To, you know, maybe inspire you guys to go, yeah, I want that. But it's not enough to just want it. You see, you have to have it. If you're saved, you have to be living that way. You have to be living in a victorious grace. Because if you're not, you're living the lie. It's the only way, it's the only true hope we have of salvation. It's a mandate, and I think it's a good reminder to always check. Every stinking day, check yourself to make sure you're in the faith. So are you? Are you? I'm going to ask you that today. Are you? And am I walking in victorious grace today, right now? Is this my life? Is this what it looks like? What have we been describing here? Am I willing to give it all? Am I willing to live in victory for Jesus? Am I willing to sacrifice anything he calls me to do? If I see it in the Word of God, am I going to follow it? Or am I going to make an excuse as to why I can't follow it? You know, is this my heart? Is this right here? All of you guys in here with your smiling, beautiful faces grinning back at me. Frowning at me. Is this who you really are? Monday through Saturday. Are you putting on your church mask and coming in here and doing the walk, doing the church thing, and then living like the world Monday through Saturday? Except for a couple hours on Wednesday when you get back here for family church. You know, examine yourselves. I'm not the judge. There's one judge. Amen. Thank God for that. But don't deceive yourselves either. Be honest with yourselves. Is this the way you're living your life? Every day, outside of your church circles. And if you're not, why aren't you? Why aren't I? And maybe it's that you haven't truly considered that grace. Maybe you haven't truly considered that love that you've received. Maybe you've been going through the motions. You've been doing the church thing. But you've been lacking the anointing power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, without the Spirit, you've got nothing. Amen. One of the common threads that you see in all those verses, you can go back and you jot them down. If you did and you want them, I can give them to you later. One of the common threads that you see in every verse is the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, you've got nothing. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. And that starts by humbly approaching the throne. Humbly approaching the throne of grace. Saying, I want it. Give me more of you, God. Give me all of you, God. I want to understand. I want to be filled by your Spirit. I want to surrender. This morning, it's time. If this isn't your life, when you're looking at your life and this isn't what it looks like, now's the time. Let's fix that. Right now, not later. Right now. You see, the Word of God has gone forth. Jesus is calling each and every one of you into this victorious grace. Jesus is drawing each and every one of you into this grace. Jesus so loves you. And he so desires you. I love you guys. And I desire you guys to know this grace. But will you accept it? See, it can't be forced. You have to want it. And you have to take it. I'm always in awe, and I start thinking, I get around people, you know, Chad, I'll be talking, Jason, I'll be talking to them, and I go, could you imagine what would happen if 60 people in Idaho City were walking this victorious grace? I mean, walking this victorious grace, sold out, letting nothing hold them back for Jesus. What that would do, how that would shake our community. How do I know that we're not walking victorious grace? Their community ain't shaking. We can do more. All of us. Myself included. There's nothing more important. These people are lost. Could you imagine? Lost. You might be lost. Today is your day. In a moment here, I'm gonna go ahead and pray. And if this is you guys, you know, I like to say there's no pressure, but there is pressure. There's real, genuine pressure, not from me, though. It's from the Spirit of God. If you're feeling that nudging in your life saying, I got to get something right, something's off. This isn't me. And if this isn't me, where does that leave me? I'm going to pray. And if you haven't experienced this Spirit, this anointing, I'm going to pray that you experience it now. If you're not saved, if you're not part of the family, I'm going to pray and give you the opportunity to come to the throne of grace right in your chair and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Maybe you have done that, but maybe you've lost sight. Maybe you've lost focus. Maybe you've let the world start to distract you. Satan's great at that, by the way. He'll use everything. He'll use your family against you. He'll use your jobs against you. He'll use your community against you. And yes, he will use your church against you. And maybe you need to just stop, reflect, and remember the grace of God in your life and what it means to be called. What it means to be anointed and experience him again fresh today. There's real pressure. It's life and it's death. Maybe it's the first time we fall to our knees before an awesome, almighty, powerful God who loves us. And we fall to our knees and we say, I'm hungry for you, Lord. I want more of you. I want to know you for the first time. I believe that you gave it all for me. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you are Jesus, the Son of God. You are my Lord, my hope, my joy. You are the one that can save me and wipe me clean and give me a fresh start, living again in victorious grace. God, save me. Save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, for those that said that prayer years ago, months ago, maybe, days ago, but the weeds are creeping up, threatening to choke them out. God, I pray today for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. God, I pray that you would fill them today. God, I pray that you would cause those dry bones to have life breath breathed into them again. God, I pray that they would walk in victorious grace through the power of your Spirit today, now. God, let your Spirit rain down in this place. Anoint us. Anoint us. And let us live not the same way as we've been living. None of us. But with a passion, a zeal, a fire for your name, and a heart that cries for the lost. Lord, so it's on our knees that we are now. Ask it. Now what? We grow, right? We root down. We understand it and we start to walk in it. Read you an account of a man that walked in victorious grace. And this is amazing. When they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began to gnash their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he, that is Stephen, gazed intently into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Then he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears. They rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began to stone him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would be the Apostle Paul. And they went on stoning Stephen. As he called upon the Lord, and Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Wow. May this be our heart. May this be our example. May this be the depth of that love that we have for this world that's dying. This world that's spiraling down to hell. May our hearts bleed for them. May we love them so much that nothing will hold us back from telling them the about Jesus, about this grace. Maybe love them so much that we'll surrender our own lives to tell them, just to tell them, for their sake, and all the while surrendering our lives, asking God to have mercy on them and to forgive them, save them, all the way to our last breath. It's my passion. I want to see this whole world saved. I don't want to see any of you not make it. I don't want to see anybody out there not make it. And they may beat you down. This world may beat you down. And all the while, just pray for them. Pray for mercy. What a marvelous thing to live for Jesus. What a marvelous thing to die for Jesus. May this be our victorious grace on our knees. Chad's going to sing a song. I invite you guys to listen, spend time with God. If you prayed those prayers, if you prayed with us and you accepted Christ, tell somebody. Tell me. Tell Pastor Jason, Pastor Mark. Tell somebody. We want to know. Not just to check a box. We want to know so that we can walk alongside you. Walk with you. We want to know so that we can give you a high five, knuckles, hug, whatever, and welcome you into our family. And maybe today was that day of recommitment. And if it was, same thing. Let us know. We weren't meant to walk life by ourselves. Part of that grace is you. You realize that? You guys are part of my grace. My wife is God's grace to me. Pastor Chasen is God's grace to me. Mark, Chad, all these men that surround me regularly and lift me up in prayer. They're my grace. Look around you at all the grace around here. Spend that time with God. You guys are free to go whenever you'd like.
Hungry, I Okay. truth.